Okay, we are ready to start. And of course, my first thing to do is to give you a joke. And what kind of books do skunks write? What kind of books do skunks write? And the answer is best smellers. So, again, we're reading Arcade and the Triple T Token by Rashad Jennings, and it's read by permission from Zondervan, which is a division of HarperCollins. So, as we know, we discovered that the vet place that they were at, Amber and Arcade, really does exist, which is interesting. And the bully, one of the bullies, one of the Tolley brothers, stopped by his house and actually was in his bedroom. And Doug wants to have gummy braces. So here we go. Hey, Amber has a good idea for her project. I scooted my chair up closer to my desk and sat up straight to listen. Bailey picked up her pencil and her eraser. Oh, please tell us, Amber, that Triple T could really use a boost right now. Amber opened her booklet up to the page where we were supposed to list our career choice. I would like to propose that my career be trainer for canine officers in New York City. Of course, that would be perfect for Amber. She had a special instinct with dogs. Loopy actually listened to her better than to me. I've been watching a lot of videos online, and I checked into visiting a place in the city that serves as a local canine academy. I have an appointment to go next week. What do you all think? What do we all think? Doug still had his nose in the gummy worm bag. Yes, Amber said. I want to know what you all think. I laughed. I think it's a great idea. Bailey had been scribbling on a notepad. She stopped, chewed her pencil a little, and looked up at the ceiling. I like it. It's original and exciting, and everyone loves dogs. I think it's a winner. She looked around at the rest of us. Any input for Amber on that canine idea? I'm down for going to the Canine Academy, Doug said. Me too, Bailey wrote. Visit to Canine Academy in her planner. I want to mention that I had operated on a canine just a couple of days ago, but I didn't, for obvious reasons. I grabbed for the token under my shirt. Why can't I think of any career for myself? At that moment, a tightly wrapped paper wad flew over and nailed me in the forehead. I picked it up off the floor, opened it up, and read what was written on it in the underside of my desk. Hey, what's my project? It better be good. I looked up and spied a Tolley glaring at me from his team gathering. He put his hands up like he'd just delivered the game-winning strike. I gave him a forced grin and a wave. Ha! Nice pitch, Kev, the other Tolley yelled from his team gathering. And it gave me an idea for Kevin. I got it, Doug jumped up to his feet. I could be a candy maker. Ever see those guys who make the peanut brittle in the big vats? That's so cool. Or how about kettle corn? It was getting close to lunch, and Doug's suggestions made my stomach growl. Just more foods you can't eat with braces, Bailey said. Oh, rats, Doug slumped in his chair. The bell rang for lunch. Mr. Dooley jumped up from his desk. Okay, class, time to go. Well, Kevin Tolley was waiting for me in the lunch line. I figured it was him because he had a couple of paper wads sitting on a tray of food he had brought for me. He sort of shoved it in my gut. Hey, Kevin, my team wants to know what my career project is. So, what is it? You want to sit together and talk about it? I swung my head around to scan the lunchroom. Seats were filling up fast. Scratchy's table was full, and I couldn't find Doug anywhere. That kid Ivan had an empty seat on one side of him and an empty seat with a coat on it on the other side. I cocked my head in the direction of Ivan, and Kevin followed. Hey, Ivan, I sat my tray down on the table. You know it's not really coat weather, right? Must be 80 degrees out there. Ivan grinned real big. And then he took his coat off the chair and put his hand out to show me I could sit there. Kevin grunted and slid his tray onto the table space on Ivan's right. Poor Ivan was going to be in the middle while we secretly worked on Kevin's project. Good thing he didn't speak English very well. So, about your project, I leaned over to Kevin and I wiped my sweaty palms on my jeans. Kevin tore a big piece of hamburger off with his teeth and chewed. Yeah, what about it? You really nailed me with that paper bomb earlier. You ever play baseball? Kevin swallowed. Yeah, I played it pretty good too. I was a pitcher and no kid could hit me. Exactly what I had hoped. Do you still play? Nah. Ivan's head ponged back and forth like he was watching a tennis tournament. Kevin took a big swig of milk and swallowed. My parents took me out, said I had to get my grades up, and they needed the money for Michael's fancy high school and voice lessons. He pointed his index finger in the air and twirled it. Whoop-de-doo! Ouch. I didn't know how much those high schools cost, but I knew my parents spent a lot of time budgeting so they could afford to send Zoe. So, you're pretty athletic then? Kevin pushed up his left sleeve, bent his arm, and flexed a bicep. I opened my eyes wide and tried to act impressed. Whoa, you work out? Sure do. Made my own home gym. It's not real equipment, just stuff I found around the neighborhood. I lift, and I box, and I throw things into a tarp. I also hit rocks real far with my sticks. You should come check it out sometime. Ivan nodded his head. Me too. Yeah, me. Kevin jostled Ivan with his shoulder. Yeah, Ivan, you can come too. It was exactly what I hoped would happen, that Kevin would reveal a talent. I know God gives talents to everyone, but it's hard to see it right away in bullies sometimes. Can I come after school? Are you doing anything today? Kevin laughed. Nah, I'm never doing anything. Michael does all the stuff in our family. Okay, then. I'll come over at 4:30. I took a pen out of my backpack and wrote my address on a napkin. Then I handed it to Ivan. Meet me here at 4:20, and we can go over to Kevin's together, okay? Ivan nodded a bunch. Yeah, me too, me. This kid could keep me from getting beat up if my plan to trick Kevin into doing his own project backfired. Now we're on chapter 20, Tricks and Sticks. We didn't work on our projects anymore that day, but every time I had a free minute between subjects, I found my mind searching for a career expo idea for me. I grabbed the token and tugged. I just want to help people. And as weird as this is, it's been more fun for me to figure out our ideas for everyone else. Why am I drawing a blank? It just doesn't make sense. The token heated up and I dropped it. No, not here. Mr. Dooley is about to start our math lesson, and Zoe would be mad if I went through the doors without her. I picked up my math book and fanned myself with it. I checked under my shirt. No pulsing light. I looked ahead of me and up. No falling glitter, although I couldn't help but think how funny it would be to see the Tolly showered in glitter right now. Are you okay? Amber leaned over to check on me. You're zoning again. Is your fever back? No, I'm just thinking about my career project. I have no idea what to do yet. Don't worry, you still have time to figure it out. An idea will come, just trust. Mine came to me in the weirdest way possible. You got that right. Mr. Livingston, do you have a math question or are you having a tea party with Miss Lynn? The whole class laughed. Mr. Dooley was in that crossed arm, glasses off stance that means you're busted. When do I not have a question about anything? I searched my brain database and my favorite one popped right out. Yes, sir, I do have a math question. I've always wanted to ask a teacher this. How many sides are on a stop sign? The class laughed again. One of the Tollies formed his hand in the letter L and popped it on his forehead. Mr. Dooley hopped up and sat up on the top of his desk. He put his glasses back and pushed them up on his nose. That's a brilliant question, Arcade. One I think we should explore when we are not talking about algebraic equations. Duh, the other Tolly bolted out. Everyone knows it's 8. Oh, Scratchy held up his hand up high and scratched his leg with his other hand. Mr. Scranton, is something on fire? Mr. Dooley pushed himself off the desk and walked over to the whiteboard where he added some letters to an equation he'd been working on. No, sir. I just wanted to answer Arcade's question. It's so easy. 10. 10 sides on a stop sign. I'm sure of it. I smiled. Scratchy just might become one of my New York best buddies. Something about the way that guy thinks. Just like him. Zoe gave me a hard time when she caught up with me at the subway entrance on my way home from school. Hey, you changed your shirt. Must be Tuesday. I knew you could do it. Unfortunately, you haven't changed your lipstick color. I'm not wearing lipstick. Oh, bummer. Guess you're stuck with it then. Zoe swung her foot out to trip me. Luckily, I didn't hit the ground. We both laughed and continued walking down the street. Do you think Mom and Dad will be home when we get there today? Zoe kicked a rock off the sidewalk. I don't know, Arcade. It's been a crazy adjustment for all of us. I'm afraid we better get used to heating up pizzas or what? I could start making us some French recipes that I found in the library book I got last week. My stomach growled a bit. That wouldn't be too bad. Can you make French fries? Arcade, French fries are not French. I stopped. What? French fries didn't originate in France. Then why do they call them French fries? Zoe sighed and rolled her eyes. Must you always ask so many silly questions? That is not a silly question. If they didn't come from France, then the name French fries is silly. Your name is silly. It fits you, though, just like French fries fits. So get over it. She had me with that one. I never could understand why my parents named me Arcade. It sounds cool, Arcade, and no one ever has the same name as me. Mom said she'd tell me one day when I'm older and can appreciate the story. Then she gives my dad the dreamy eyes, and I realize I can wait. Zoe is a weird name, too. It's like Zoo, but with an E. Sometimes I'm tempted to call you Zoo. You have a lot of similarities to a zoo. Zoe means life, Arcade. I don't know how I could have a better name than that. Whatever. She tripped me again and ran, and I ran after her laughing. We might be in a strange new city with our parents working awful schedules, but at least the teasing from my sister made me feel normal. We both got tired and slowed down as we rounded the last corner to our brownstone. And as often happens when we've been teasing, Zoe held out a fist and said, "We cool?" I hit her fist with an open hand. "Sure, turkey." And just then, I spotted the Tolley brothers sitting out on their steps. "Hey, Arcade, sister have to walk you home so you don't get lost?" One of the twins was lifting a plastic milk jug that looked like it was filled with sand. Kevin. "Oh no, the meeting. I totally forgot. How did I get myself into this mess? I was just minding my own business at the library. None of it made any sense. Arcade, look!" Zoe turned to face me and pointed to a dark cloud that formed above my head. I looked up, and before I knew it, glitter all over. I coughed and sputtered. I should really learn to keep my mouth closed. "Oh no, the token, it's flashing again. What did you do, Arcade?" Zoe jumped closer to me under the glitter storm. "If those doors show up again, don't go through them." I coughed. "What? Ignore them. Keep walking right back to the house." I took my backpack off and put it over my head like an umbrella. "But what if I'm supposed to go through? What if I ignore it and then my life takes some deadly turn? If I skip on the happy travels, will I end up traveling anyway, but somewhere not so happy? Oh! Why are you such a question machine?" A larger glitter cloud formed over Zoe now and dumped its contents on her head. The doors appeared again, but this time we could see through them. I was on one side and Zoe was on the other. The coin slot was right there in the middle, pulsing away. Zoe put her hand up and realized we were separated. Her face paled. and she put both hands on the doors. Do you still want me to ignore it? I didn't know if she could hear me or not. What if we get separated forever? The token blazed heat, and the coin slot continued to pulse light toward the coin around my neck. Tears streamed down Zoe's cheeks. She said something, but I couldn't hear her. She pounded the doors with her hands. I couldn't ignore this. I had to get to my sister. The only way to do that was to put the token in the slot. I reached down and grabbed it, and like the last three times, it came off the chain. I reached for the slot, and the token popped in like it was home. This isn't so bad. We're at Yankee Stadium. I know because we're standing in front of a massive square building that says Yankee Stadium. Why is everything black and white? Zoe is standing next to me and she's waving her hand in front of her eyes while looking at the sign. Now who's asking silly questions? It's just an overcast day in New York, I reach out my hand. She grabs it and we walk in the entrance. But as we walk down the aisles of seats, through the crowds of people and up to field level, it appears everything is black and white because the grass is gray and the sky is a lighter gray. And all the fans sitting in the seats, the peanut guy and the hot dogs, the people are shoving into their mouths, are all either black, white, or various shades of gray. Zoe blinks her eyes open and closed. This is freaking me out. A guy wearing a gray suit approaches me. Arcade Livingston? My mouth drops open. Yeah? This way, he's been looking forward to meeting you. He has? Who has? Yes, who doesn't want to meet Arcade Livingston? I smile and turn to Zoe. Yeah, who doesn't want to meet me? And then I turn back to the guy in the suit. This is my sister. Her name is Zoo. Can she come too? The man grins. Yes, I'm sure he'd like to meet Zoo too. Follow me. We follow him towards the gray field and through a gate with a sign that says, authorized personnel only. We head down the steps onto the field where the New York Yankees, dressed in black and white pinstriped uniforms, are playing a game. And then we turn into the dugout where a bunch of Yankees are spitting gray stuff on the ground and yelling things to their teammates out on the field. You can sit right here, our tour guide says. He'll be in as soon as he strikes his last batter out. The man points to a couple of empty spots on a long bench, and I sit down. Zoe inspects the bench first and then joins me. Hey, are you Arcade? Thanks for coming to visit, man. One of the coaches comes over and gives me a high five. We heard you moved to New York. Lucky us. A bunch of other players came over then and high fives me too. In the background, I hear an announcer. Sounds like Mr. Dooley. Three balls, two strikes, and here we go. The money pitch. The ball players part in front of me, and I stand to see what's going on. A big guy wearing pinstripes with the number 3 on his sleeve winds up on the mound. He heaves the baseball towards the batter. He swings and misses. The baseball disappears into the catcher's glove. Strike 3! Ladies and gents, he struck out the side again. Again! The crowd roars and the Yankees on the field run to the dugout. The big guy comes in last and sees me. Arcade, where have you been? Huh? Virginia? He laughs. It's about time you moved to the Big Apple. He throws his glove in a slot in the wall of the dugout. Come over here. I want to show you something. Zoe gives me a puzzled glance and I smirk. He wants to show us something? I heard you, Doug. The big guy leads us over to a square table in the corner of the dugout. It's a weird thing to be there, but this whole scene is weird. Have a seat. He gestures to two flimsy metal chairs for me and Zoe, and I cringe as he sits down, wondering if the seat will hold him. A deck of cards appears on the table. Was that the trick? I ask with wide eyes. No, I haven't even started. But the cards just... Zoe kicks me under the table and I stop talking. Number 3 shuffles the cards a few times, then fans them out to show me the whole deck is there. like I'm going to question this big pinstripe baseball player. Okay, he says, I'm going to make three stacks of three cards. He counts them out. Since I've been reading a book about illusions and card tricks, of course, I'm looking at his sleeves. But they're short, and he just came off the field, so how could he have anything up them? The big guy presses his elbows into the table. Okay, Arcade, pick which pile you want. I pick the middle. I always pick the middle piles. He picks up the middle pile and turns it over. The bottom card is the Jack of Hearts. The card is all in black, white, and gray. But a heart is a heart. Star Pitcher takes my pile and puts it on top of the other two piles of three. He sets the rest of the deck aside. Do you trust me to find your card? My answer should be yes, because illusionists always find their card. But I just got here through some glitter and elevator doors that open with a mysterious token. I'm not sure what will happen. So I say, no. Zoe laughs. What my brother is trying to say is, no. She hits her hand on the side of the table and it causes the big guy to jump. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to startle you. He moves a bit and his chair groans under his weight. That's okay. A shot of adrenaline may help me when I get up to bat. I've been slumping today. Then he looks at me again. Now we're going to find that Jack of Hearts. He begins to spell the word Jack, and with each letter he says out loud, he puts a card face down on the table. J-A-C-K. And then he says space, and he puts the rest of the deck on top of the ones on the table. He continues, O-F of space. Again, he puts the deck on top. He does the same thing with H-E-A-R-T-S, space. He stops for a minute and stares into my eyes. Spelling is a very important skill. Don't forget that. I won't, I respond, recording his advice in my brain. Now, he continues, do you trust me to find your card? Yes. He starts putting cards face down as he spells the word T-R-U-S, and he turns the next card over as he says T. Something hot sears my chest. I reach down and discover the token is already back, but no doors. The card the baseball man turns over is the Jack of Hearts. Zoe gasps. That's dope! I check his sleeves again. I feel like I've done this one before, but I can't remember how. So what's the trick? The announcer says, number three on deck. The crowd roars. The big man rises and smiles, and little lines form in the corner of both eyes. He picks up his bat and rests it on his shoulder. That's the magic of it. There is no trick. You just have to be confident and trust the process. The announcer continues, two away, and here comes the Bambino, who's dominating on the mound, but having a rough time at the plate with two strikeouts today. What do they expect? The big guy takes his bat off his shoulder and points it at me. Remember, kid, you can't be so scared of striking out that you don't swing. And with that, he charges out onto the field. Is that who I think it is? Zoe asks. I think so, and he's gonna hit it out. You watch. And then a bunch of glitter falls from the dugout ceiling. No, wait, not yet. I yell, but the doors appear anyway. The token pulses. So does the coin slot. The players in the dugout are unfazed, but Zoe grabs me by the arm. We gotta go, Arcade. I keep my eyes trained on the batter and push her away. Just a minute. I want to witness history. If we don't go now, we may be history. The pitcher winds up and hurls a fastball. Number three swings so hard, he practically screws himself into the ground. The players in the dugout moan. The glitter increases. I have to wipe it away from my face to see. Arcade, come on! Zoe's voice fades as if she's in a faraway tunnel. The pitcher moves the ball around in his palm and repositions it in his glove. He smirks at the batter, who glares back and spits on the ground. Edwards winds up. The pitch. It's a slider. Number three swings again, missing it by a foot. Come on, babe, the manager yells. That wasn't your pitch. The big guy makes a timeout sign and he moves out of the box so he can swing a few times. And then he's back in. Arcade, your shirt is smoking. Huh? I look around and don't see Zoe, but sure enough, there's a little bit of steam coming from my shirt. But I'm so into what's happening on the gray field that I can't deal with it right now. Oh, and two, Edwards from the stretch. The batter turns to me and winks. He says, don't be afraid. And I can hear him clear as if he's standing right next to me. The pitch. The pitcher hurls another fastball, but it looks like slow motion to me. The batter's eyes focus on the seams. And as it nears the plate, he shifts his weight and swings. Crack! Arcade! I glance back and Zoe is gone. I turn back toward the field just in time to watch the little white ball sail high over the right field fence. Way over. The crowd goes wild and the next thing I know, I'm choking on glitter. The doors are still there, but I can barely see the outline. And the light from the coin slot is faded, looking like a flashlight when the battery is almost dead. I grab for the token, and this time I have to tug it for a second to get it to come off the chain. I throw it in the coin slot, and it blinks a couple of times, but then the light goes out. I put my hands together and make the open door gesture, and nothing. Open! You have to open! I make the motion again, and I bang on the coin slot. I look around at the players who have run out on the field to congratulate number three on his home run. I'm in here all by myself. Or am I? I hear that devilish laugh again. I told you he can't handle it. Yes, he can, a weaker voice says. I glance over to the card table, and there's the old lady. She's dealing out three stacks of cards. She holds up the ace of hearts and starts spelling A-R-C-A-D-E space. I hit the coin slot again, make the motion. My head lets loose a gallon of sweat. Help me, I yell, and I fix my eyes on her card deck. T-R-U-S. She flips the fifth card over. It's an ace, but instead of hearts in its corner, the whole card is covered in golden tokens. I turn back around. The coin slot is glowing bright now. Take me home. I can handle it. I make the motion again. The doors open. Phew. And I leap through. Zoe wasn't there with me when I arrived back at the end of our block. Hey, Arcade, we got an appointment, remember? Kevin still stood on the steps to his brownstone, doing bicep curls with his milk jug full of dirt. His arm looked pumped. I pulled on my backpack straps and ran toward my house. I'll be there in a minute. I have to check something. Just keep getting pumped. I huffed and puffed up the stairs and I put the key in the front door. Please, God, let Zoe be in here. I didn't get a chance to push it open because someone swung it open from the inside. I sailed in and almost fell on the ground. Zoe was chowing on ice cream out of the carton at the dining room table. She flew and hugged me so tight I couldn't breathe. Arcade, thank God you're all right. And then she pushed me away a foot or two. You are all right, aren't you? She looked me up and down. I'm okay, I think. But what about you? I swung an arm toward the door and then back toward Zoe. How long? Zoe interrupted, shoving me toward the wall. I ended up right back here where we started, with those dumb see-through doors, and you weren't there, so I thought I lost you forever, and I ran back here ready to call the cops. She pushed me again, but then I wondered, what would I tell the cops if I called them? And I freaked out. I almost called Mom, but then this kid knocked on the door and said he was looking for you, so I let him in. Kid? What kid? I pushed myself off the wall and turned toward the door. Arcade? Me? Kevin? Ivan was holding the doorknob. Zoe went right back to the table and shoved a spoonful of ice cream in her mouth. And then she gave me the stink eye and shook her head. You should have put the token in the slot as soon as you saw the doors. That was super dangerous. I didn't want to admit she was right. But when the token didn't come right off the chain, I had panicked. Next time, yes, I'd know better. We'll talk about this later. Right now, Ivan and I have an appointment with Kevin Tolley. Zoe dropped the spoon in the carton. Fine. Don't let me keep you from your appointments, but I suggest you put that thing in the drawer. Triple T, Triple T. Milo hadn't forgotten just yet. Team Triple T? Ivan nodded and pointed to me. Yes, that's my team. What team are you on, Ivan? He grinned. Team Tolley. Okay, that narrowed it down to two. What career are you interested in? Journalism? Foreign correspondent? Seemed perfect for him. If he could learn English a little better. I have a book on journalism. I'll bring it to school for you. Thank you, Ivan shook his head. Arcade, amazing friend. I smiled. I'll be back in 30 minutes, Zoe. I walked out the door, shaky, with Ivan following. And with the Triple T token still around my neck, because you never know when you might need to escape Tolley Town. So now we're on chapter 21, which is called Sticks and Bricks. Kevin Tolley led me and Ivan through the living room and out to the backyard of his brownstone. So I started thinking, hey, who needs to go to one of those overpriced gyms to get in shape? I can make stuff out of junk. Kevin flashed a non-chipped tooth and I stared out toward the little porch towards a little patch of ground that was covered with junk. I give you the Tolley home gym. Well, you weren't kidding there, Kev. I figured if I called him Kev, he'd start to think of me as a friend. And kids don't usually punch out their friends. That is, well, there are no words to describe what all this is. How about you tell me, what is all of this? Kevin walked down the back stairs to the junk, and Ivan and I followed. This is circuit training, boys, and I call it junk fit. Want to give it a try? Do you work out? Sure, I said, staring out at the tires, bricks, sticks, tarps, and tree stumps littering his backyard. I have never done work out. It was the first almost full sentence I ever heard from Ivan. Well, you've come to the right place. Kevin walked straight to an area that had some broomsticks with milk cartons duct taped to the ends. Your legs are your strongest muscles, so we'll start with them. Arcade, grab that side of the barbell and we'll lift it up onto Ivan's shoulders. Ivan shook his head and began to walk away. It's okay, buddy. You can do this. The bar isn't that heavy, and Arcade and I will be your spotters. Kevin picked up his side of the barbell and set it down. And then he put his palms in the air. It's light, see? Trust me, I'm an expert at this stuff. I won't give you more than you can handle at first. You're just a beginner. What was this? Kevin Tolley being an encourager? Ivan slowly walked back toward the barbell, and then he took off his sweatshirt to reveal his skinny white arms popping out from his short sleeve t-shirt. Kevin grabbed the sweatshirt and draped it around Ivan's shoulders. Here, this will add some padding. I've been looking for foam in the dumpster to wrap around this broomstick, but so far I've been skunked. Dumpster diving for health and fitness. I'd never thought of that. Okay, Arcade, let's lift on three and put it on his shoulders. And make sure you let it down easy so we make sure he can handle it. I bent down and grabbed the milk jug. Okay, Kevin said. On three. One, two, three. I lifted. It wasn't too heavy. But I didn't lift as quickly as Kevin did. So we were a little off balance at first, but I got the thing up there. Ivan grabbed the broomstick with both hands. Keep hold of it for a minute, Arcade. You okay, Ivan? Yeah, okay. Now, even your hands out so you don't get tippy. We're gonna let go now. You'll be fine though. This is the beginner bar. Ivan moved his left hand out a little and smiled. Good, that's exactly right. Now keep your weight centered and slowly bend your knees, but don't go down very far just yet. Back straight, look forward, but don't lean forward. I wondered if Ivan understood all of this. Kevin grabbed an empty broomstick, put it on his shoulders, and stood across from Ivan, mirroring a perfect stance. You feel comfortable? Yes, okay. Then let's do five half squats. Here we go. Breathe in on your way down and breathe out on your way up. I watched in amazement as Kevin Tolley led Ivan in his very first squat set. The kid could do this for a living, and this would make a really cool project for the Career Expo. What followed next was more instruction for Ivan and a killer workout for me. Kevin grabbed my bicep and pinched. You seem beefy. I'm going to give you the intermediate circuit. What? I thought we were going to talk about your project. I was thinking that you could. Kevin shook his head. Not yet. First, you need to do some brick burpees. Brick burpees? Sure, anyone can do regular burpees. Grab some bricks from the pile over there. I look at the pile. They were all different sizes of bricks, and they had black numbers written on them. I went over and picked up a pair with the number 3. Okay, Kevin said. Now jump up with the bricks above your head, then put the bricks on the ground. Hold on and kick your legs out back. Do a push-up, get back up, and jump with the bricks in the air again. Ivan was now sitting on a stack of old tires, breathing hard and wiping his neck with his sweatshirt. Excuse me. How many should I do? I asked Kevin. As many as you can until you're sure you can't do any more. Oh, that did not sound good. And then do 3 more after that. I'd read about the burn in the books, but after 10 brick burpees, I was experiencing it in real life. My triple T token slammed against my chest each time I reached up with the bricks. This would have been a good time for glitter to pour down, but the only thing that poured was rivers of sweat down my back. And we're going to stop there.